We're live.
Yeah.
And hello, look,
guys. Guess who's back?
Well, I've got Samir with me, as usual. Another 11-8 movie review. And it begins with a J, doesn't it?
Ian Bill, isn't it?
Fuck off.
Yeah.
I'd like to say that I was happy with the renegotiation of the terms. So welcome.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, so the negotiations was because...
It's a rolling... it's a rolling contract, though. So I don't get too comfortable.
No, I won't. Certainly after this fucking abomination. But anyway.
We've got the P45 in hand always.
If you're expecting... Well, is that your latest one, is it, Smith?
No. 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 It's actually a car document, actually, funny enough.
I love these little private jokes.
Yeah. you guys have missed me, haven't you? Let's be honest. You know, you've missed that wit. You know.
No, not really, mate. I'm saying him.
You haven't.
Yes, it was aimed at him.
Yeah, that's why. I think we've done well without you. I think we've coped well. I think the audience liked our jokes and stuff like that, and they love the King George beard that Paul's got as well. And
no evidence of any of that, but you know, we'll go with it for now.
You watch the viewers and subscribers shoot up now that I'm back.
Minus 50 views.
Right, so welcome, viewers, listeners. Again, another 11-8 movie review. Thanks for tuning in. Get involved in the comments if you're watching live. If not, well, go fuck yourselves. You can watch on demand. You can watch everywhere. Where are we these days? Facebook, Odyssey, YouTube, Twitter. Fucking Twitch as well. We're on there. So let's get on with it, shall we? Today we're talking about Highlander, 1986.
Any of you around at the time in 86?
Were any of us around?
Of course.
I'm talking to the audience, not you guys.
Oh. There is no audience at the moment. There's no, at all. So let's just talk amongst ourselves. Anyway, Highlander. Yes, let's just go through some cast and director and all that kind of stuff. So director was Russell McColney. McColney? I don't know how you pronounce that. Let me actually get this up so that viewers can see it. I'll bring up IMDb. Russell McColney, Teen Wolf movie. Wow. Is director of Resident Evil Extinction as well. Okay, so.
Oh, all shit films, great.
Big credits there. Yeah.
Yes.
Of course, this stars Christopher Lambert, I believe he's French-Canadian. He plays Colin McLean.
I just did a little bit of research on him, Christopher Lambert. His father was a diplomat in the United Nations. He was born in New York, but he was sent to Geneva to study. And then after that, he was taken to Paris to study after that and stayed there. So this claim he's American French, but you can't call him American French because he was just born. Then his father was a diplomat in the UN. So he's French.
Or call him a French Canadian, as I did.
Yes.
At least he's got the excuse that he can't do any accent. So that's, that's good.
Yeah, a bit of a mishmash there. But yeah,
absolutely. I wasn't sure if it was French Dutch or Russian or French or God knows what it was.
We have Sean Connery in this, plays Ramirez.
For about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Clancy Brown plays the Kurgan. Roxanne Hart plays Brenda, the love interest. B.T. Edney also plays another interest, plays Heather. Alan North is a police detective. Lieutenant Frank Moran is head of the sort of the New York police force that's kind of heading up this operation. Anyone else I should mention?
Another Scottish guy there at the bottom, James Cosmo.
James Cosmo. Yeah, he makes some cameo appearances in a lot of things, doesn't he?
I think probably an honorary mention, just to, not honorary as in like amazing, but Christopher Malcolm, who, in fact, I think even his picture is of him in the Y-Wing in Empire Strikes Back. Yeah,
right.
That one, yeah.
Christopher Malcolm.
He had like a five-second part in...
That's right, yes. Yeah, he had, he had the T-shirt that said, "Hey, Moscow," with a big target on it.
That's it, yeah.
And what's her name? Sheila Gish. She's quite famous as doing cameo roles as well.
The one that played Rachel.
Rachel Gish.
Yeah, I've seen her in a few things, but I can't remember what.
Yeah, she passed away in 2005, I think.
I did? Okay. So that was the final goodbye then in that movie then to Highlander.
No, I think she was in the second one as well.
Oh, was she? Okay.
Well, 86, mate. 90 was the second one, I think. And she died in 2005, so there's a bit of time between the two.
Didn't necessarily have to be involved, though, in any of the sequels. It was kind of a throwaway character.
It was meant to be a joke. It was a final goodbye to the Highlander, and you just went on and on about Okay.
Just out of interest, did everyone watching this today, did they see that World War II scene?
Yes.
With the SS officer, yeah.
Yeah.
A gem of Wehrmacht, but anyway. Yes. Okay, I'm just making sure, because that's a sequence that's not included in the theatrical cut.
No, I watched the 30th anniversary remastered edition.
Okay, we all must have watched that then. Good.
And I just wanted to say the hairstyle that he had during the war wouldn't be around because that was a very much 80s hairstyle. But never mind, we'll talk about that later on.
Yeah. I think they added it in because of the link between the young girl, obviously, that he then took under his wing and became his confidant, if you like, in the antique shop.
Yep.
Well, first things first, to get this started, I think the soundtrack... Right from the get-go.
Queen, man.
Queen.
You know what? I don't listen to a lot of Queen.
But when I do,
I think, fuck me, it's been pretty good stuff.
So distinct. I mean, I didn't know Queen did music. As soon as it started, I went, that's Queen. And then it said music performed and by Queen. I thought, it's unmistakable. And if any of you have watched Bohemian Rhapsody, watch it. It's a great film. And it's amazing. Just very distinctive. Brilliant music. Yeah.
100%. One of my favorite songs, actually.
Best part of the film, actually. But
We Want to Live Forever, sort of thing.
Who wants to live forever?
Live forever.
You
know what I mean.
I didn't know what you meant. Yeah.
Sorry, I can't remember all the titles. I've got a really bad short memory. Yeah.
What did you say?
That's why. Yeah, that's why I can't remember Justin, who it was. I thought it was Ian Beale, but yeah.
God dear. Unbelievable. The absolute insubordination is unreal.
So yeah, how much money was spent on this film?
About £3.
Anyone know?
19 million, I think.
Or 16. 16 estimated.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, didn't actually make any a lot of money back. Opening weekend, there was $2.4 million.
It's a flop then, wasn't it, really?
Gross in the US and Canada, $5.9 million. And gross World War.
Gross, what are you thinking about, worldwide. Mate?
I was watching something about the Second World War before I came up here, so that's probably why. Gross worldwide, $5.9 million, $712 even.
So then it just about washed its face.
Yeah.
And just about washed its face.
It's pretty shite in terms of... pretty fucking awful in terms
and actually, do you know what? I know this is an interesting discussion point because it was like starring Christopher Lambert and Sean Connery. And I think that was actually a slap in the face for...
Scotland?
No, for Clancy Brown. Because Connery was in it for like 5 minutes. I know what you're going to say. It's because he was a mega star at the time, you know, with et cetera, with Bond and all the rest of it. But it should be Christopher Lambert starring Chris Lambert and Clancy Brown.
Can I just interrupt you there? Actually, you're wrong. He had suffered a lot in the 70s, and it was only Never Say Never Again that had brought Connery back to the forefront. So by that
That's
movie,
because he was arguing about money in Bond. We've had that discussion.
Yeah, but no.
It's because he was throwing his toys out of his pram because he wasn't being paid enough fucking money. So it's his own bloody fault, wasn't it?
Hold on, but after the Bond... It's like every other Bond actor there suffered. They've never ever made it after that, or came out of the shadows of Bond. He had to, like, in the 70s, he had such a bad decade. He went from number one Hollywood star to being not even being fined by directors. So Never Say Never Again brought him back. Then he played a monk, I forget the name, something with Christian Slater. I always forget that movie's name. And then he did this. So he wasn't a megastar. What made him the megastar again was The Untouchables. Sorry about my lecture, but...
He's still a name. You can still draw an audience.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I just think it was disrespectful to Clancy Brown, because he was brilliant in this film. Scary figure. Menacing figure. It's a bit like, reminds me of Dolph Lundgren in a way, and that guy who did Hellboy and was in Alien Resurrection, you know, with a funny jaw.
Ron Perlman,
yeah. He sort of just, I don't know, it just reminds me. And of course, actually, he looks a lot like Jaws, actually, talking about James Bond. He could almost play, if they were to ever remake James Bond, I think you would have pipped him to play Jaws.
Now, that is a little bit of an insult to him as well, mate. I think you're just giving him one, because Jaws, Richard Kiel always struggled to walk. This guy didn't. He looked, didn't look awkward.
No, I'm talking about the menacing look.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree with only one of them, and that's the Jaws thing. The rest of the people you mentioned, I've got no idea what planet you're on, but yeah, I go with same. Jaws thing. That's not a bad comparison. I think he could, although he's getting on a bit now, Clancy Brown.
Yeah, he is now, yeah, but it was in his heyday then. You know, I quite like to have seen him in Universal Soldier having a fight with Dolph Lundgren. I think that would have been quite good fun.
He was amazing in a TV program called Billions with Damian Lewis, where he plays the Secretary of State, and he was really good in that. Very good.
Mm. Well, you mentioned fighting. So one of my notes here is that the swordplay in this, I felt, was absolute dog shit.
What was the swords? Felt that, though. Did you notice how bent the swords were? And did you notice in the car park, did you notice the yellow wire going down his leg? So that yellow wire was connected to a car battery. So when they clang swords and it sparked, it created the spark.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But at the end, was always bent. It was shit.
I saw the wire at the end, you know, where he's been tossed around.
How obvious was that?
Yeah.
Saw the crane at the top as well.
Exactly.
It's like, that's shit. They're not even trying to fucking hide it.
Yeah, but that's what you get for $16 million back in 1986, isn't it?
They'll make more of an effort.
So it was chicken feed even then, mate. Okay, the thing I think Justin enjoyed the most was the love scene, because you could see a bit of a nipple in there.
I was a little bit of nip tip when it. I mean,
where was that?
When he was shagging the bird at the end.
Yeah.
You saw a little bit of nip actually on the medieval bird. Actually, just got a he got a little bit of a roller there, didn't he?
I was thinking of Justin, thinking bloody hell, he's getting excited watching this movie.
Little bit of nip,
a little bit,
isn't it? Now you just seek that out. I didn't. Well,
I
didn't notice
there.
I didn't notice that, except that bit where he was having sex with that one at the end. But the one you're talking about, Justin, bloody hell, you got some sharp eyes. Even a guy who wears glasses.
Well,
mate,
to be honest with you, mate, you didn't need sharp eyes to spot the continuity in this one. Fucking polystyrene blocks and crew members throwing.
Yeah, that was really bad.
You even saw a crew member throwing one. It was like, throw it in.
I didn't understand why that tower had to collapse. I know it's like a dramatic effect, but there was no reason for it to collapse the way it did.
No. And to be honest, that screaming bird at the bottom as well. She's like,
there was a fair bit.
Just thrown at her and just gone, shut the fuck up.
There was a fair bit of screaming, like ridiculous, kind of helpless female screaming in this film. The tower thing, I thought, that's the problem with dry stone walling, unfortunately. You know, that's going to happen.
But it did rebuild itself, because after Connery had let his head be chopped off really easily, he fell, that bit of that staircase fell, but then miraculously that bit of staircase was back again afterwards.
Yeah. Hmm. You know, what made me laugh was, I think the case was, I've got a feeling why Connery was in it for so short a time, was they couldn't afford his fees for more than a day, maybe 2 days max, and he thought, guys, I'm not doing it anymore.
The guy's on his knees. He can't get back into television, but he's still demanding a huge salary.
Of course.
He didn't really help himself, did he, then, in that case?
You know, can't get back into movies for love nor money.
Yeah, but I want 6 million.
And they turned around and said, no, that's half of our budget.
Oh, and I'm not going to try and do an Egyptian, you know, Arabic fucking voice. I'm going to be Scottish. Is that all right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the Frenchman is going to be Scottish.
Just phoned it in. I mean, I thought it was supposed to be Spanish at first, but then he took the piss out of it. He said Spanish haggis or whatever it was. And then he said, actually, I'm Egyptian. It's like, hold on a second. Fucking hell. What? So what are you? An Egyptian with a Scottish accent.
Well, shouldn't he have had one of those fucking Tommy Cooper hats?
Oh, what, a fez?
Yeah, fez, yeah.
Tommy Cooper hat, yeah.
Mate, the Tommy Cooper hat was fashionable in the 20s and 30s, mate. I don't think it was around in the 1500s in Egypt. But yeah,
well,
you're
that's
right.
True. Yeah, the timing would have been wrong. But yeah, it would have been quite funny if he was actually wearing a fez.
Yeah, it would have been.
but the thing is, though, there's two things here that I want to bring up. One, this is the sort of conversation, right? Oh, did you not know you're immortal? You can't die, walk off. Oh, except if you get your head chopped off. So watch out for that. So you can't die, but don't get your head chopped off, right?
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is, I was born 2,300 years ago in 1583. So that would have been before Christ. So my first question would have been, did you meet him?
Hold on.
Does he exist then?
You can't be. 1583 wasn't.
No, you're talking about timeline's 15... way out. But I know
if it was 2,300 years old,
yeah,
and it was 1580 something. So it's 1500 years after Christ, because we're 2,022 years after Christ now, aren't we?
Yeah, but BC doesn't work. BC starts at zero and works backwards, doesn't it? Whereas AD works forwards.
Yeah,
but he was still been around when Jesus was, though, wouldn't he? Or not?
If it was 2,000 years before then, in 1500s, it would have been... he would
a
have
long
been
time before Christ.
That's what I mean. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So my first question would have been, did he exist? Did you meet him? Is he real?
Right.
That would have been your first question.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah.
And he would have said, don't know, mate, I've never been to Jerusalem. I ain't got a bloody clue.
You're from fucking Egypt. I mean, it's closer.
Yeah, it is closer than we are, and it's closer than Scotland. I agree, but it doesn't mean necessarily I'm in Egypt, therefore I have to go to Jerusalem at some point in my life. It could have quite easily avoided Jerusalem.
It's only around the corner, isn't it? It's
just... In theory, but you would have asked him that question. That would have been your first question.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah. Seeing as they're all marching with fucking crosses and all the rest of it, and the guy shooting people on them or whatever on the battlefield, I probably would have asked that question.
Right, Egypt... Okay. Egypt's North Africa, right?
Yep, and it's on the...
it's where the Nile exits, in Alexandria.
Yeah. Okay, so... So Jerusalem's in Israel, right?
Yep.
Okay.
It's nothing to do with the movie, guys, but we're going to just get this out.
Well, let me share this, actually, so that...
It is to do with the movie, because it's all about the timeline.
No, it's bloody... You would have... It's by your bloody question. Did you see Jesus? Bloody hell.
It would have been around in the Roman Empire, etc. as well, wouldn't it? It would have seen Genghis Khan. He would have seen all of them.
He wouldn't have heard of... I mean, I know of the Queen of England. I know of her, but I've never... seen her. I've never...
Oh, well, mate, that's because you're not just swinging in the right circles, my friend.
Can you see this?
Yeah, you would have gone, but there's a desert in between.
Look at that, Egypt. Look, it's almost like a perfect... The borders are like a perfect square, almost. Weird.
Yep. It was basically split between, because it was split between the French and us. So we got the Egyptian bit in Jordan, and they got Lebanon.
Yeah, so literally, it's like... Close.
Wait a minute.
Justin might have a fucking point here.
Yeah, it is close by. Yeah, it is.
It is, look.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just around the corner.
I tell you what, that's fucking walking distance.
I know my geography. Do you know what I mean?
No, I knew it was close by, but I think you've got the Sinai Desert. I think that's in between them two. And... it's a great place to walk on a Sunday afternoon. Just go
take some water, didn't you? Or jump on a camel, you'd be fine. Yeah, that's just fucking walking distance. Yeah. I'd be asking him the same thing. I'd be saying, all right, mate. I'd be asking him exactly the same fucking thing.
Yeah. So right, you two be asking about Jesus. I'll ask him about Julius Caesar. Okay.
Yeah.
So
that was a great opportunity to authenticate the Bible when he lost it. He missed it.
Amen, mate.
No. I've got my notes here that 80s wrestling. Oh, now, the reason I've got that is because...
budgie smugglers.
The 80s was kind of... Wrestling was starting to get a bit of momentum in America.
Yes.
Especially in 86, 85,
and they 86. Thought it was real as well at that point.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan was the first superstar?
No, that was later.
Only kids felt that or thought that wrestling was real. Adults knew full well it was all fake. You know, just a bit of entertainment.
Intelligent adults.
85, I think. 85, I think, was the first ever WrestleMania. So it was really the WWF at the time, World Wrestling Federation, was really starting to take off. So I just thought it was quite a nice little bit in there that they're using wrestling. They could have quite easily used a baseball game. They could have quite easily used an NFL game. But they didn't. They chose wrestling.
And Madison Square.
Yeah, I just thought it was like a zeitgeist at the time. You know, it's just, I thought it was quite a nice touch.
Do we know who the fighters were? Were they real fighters or they?
Well, one of them looked a bit like Haku.
Who the hell's Haku, mate?
Haku?
He sounds like a tropical bird or something.
Well, he was. He was from Tonga.
Oh, was he? Okay.
He was indeed, yes. In fact, yeah. I don't know if it was. I could be completely wrong. But one of them did look like a lot like Haku, this guy here. Died at the age of 63. So, yes, he's born in Tonga. Professional wrestler. Best known for his appearance in the World Wrestling Federation and New Japan Pro Wrestling as Haku. He's known for his time in World Championship Wrestling, where he wrestled under the name Meng. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that's it. So, early career, started in 78.
So it could well have been then, in that case, yeah.
Could have been. Definitely about the right time scale, because I remember watching wrestling back, you know, old 80s wrestling, and Haku being quite a big name at the time.
There was one strange thing in that scene. It's like Christopher Lambert was just sat there like this.
I didn't understand the purpose of him being there to start with.
No, yeah, that was quite strange. You think, what is he doing? What, he's not. There's no emotion. He's just watching guys screaming in his ear, and he can't even hear him. He's like thinking about Scotland and the high.
He's flashbacking, isn't he? Because it was trigger.
The purpose of him being there was A, it was the 80s, and wrestling was starting to take off, so it's a good opportunity to get that little bit in there. And it was Madison Square Garden, supposedly.
Yeah.
So, a very famous landmark, very famous stadium in New York. So that was it. That was the only reason they were there. It was just that.
And then he meets that South African Secret Service guy in the car park.
Well, I presume he was an immortal as well, was he? Hence why he had a sword. And why he took his head off.
It's about the quickening or the reckoning, wasn't it? They were starting because supposedly everyone gets drawn in. It's a bit like a battle royale these days. The people that play Fortnite and PUBG or whatever it's called. You know, you've got that. It slowly starts to decrease and everyone has to rush into the middle.
And then you have it out with whoever's left. Yeah.
Actually, you know what? That could very well be the original idea for the battle royale. Thinking about that now. Just thinking.
Well, Highlander.
I've got
a good idea, guys. Yeah, we do this, but we don't chop people's heads off. Yeah, we just wrestle with each other. Yeah.
Just throw people about, pretend to get
five people. Yeah. Actually, you might be right, actually, just Paul.
It's like in wrestling off, actually. I mean, I quite enjoy watching the old 80s and 90s wrestling stuff. It's just hilariously funny.
Was it Mr. T, actually one of the original stars of wrestling?
Early 80s, no. He wasn't. He wrestled a bit with Hulk Hogan. It was kind of like a celebrity kind of endorsement.
Okay.
And I think he wrestled for a little while. And I think he actually did boxing as well. There was actually boxing matches in the early 1980s in the WWF.
So
you had like Rowdy Roddy Piper was going into boxing matches, I think, with Mr. T. At the time, and they were kind of like special events. There wasn't many of them, but
and that's how we ended up in Rocky III. Anyway,
showing my history there of WWF.
You are, yeah. Never watched it myself. I only really got into UFC because of, I don't know, just our interest me. In that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking about the opening fight sequence, how easy is it to decapitate someone? Does anyone anyone tried it?
I guess I've never tried it, obviously, but I guess it's based on the sharpness of the blade, I suppose.
Well, I thought that is quite hard to hit, or your spine at the back.
As I understand it, it's incredibly difficult to decapitate someone, which is why I've never seen them, but those kind of decapitation videos that the old people across the other side of the world release every now and again, that's why you see them like really kind of soaring into it, is because it's fucking hard work. It's not, you can't just swing, and unless you've got like a real heavy, like an axe, you know, real heavy weight behind it, you're really putting down momentum.
Because if you remember the executions they used to have doing the Tudor times, or Charles or whatever, first or whatever, if you look at the axe they actually used in the illustration, obviously, yeah, it was massive and heavy.
Yeah,
and it was circular as well. So that and the guillotine, of course, was shaped at an angle for that purpose. It wasn't like a straight blade coming down. It was an angled blade.
Yes.
Yeah. So you'd make that incision and then just
Because even if you look at butchers when they're cutting that part of the body, it's the hardest bit. They're always hacking at it all the time. Anyway, enough of that. That's making me.
So the answer is not very easy at all.
No. But don't forget, he had a samurai sword, and potentially they do say the samurai sword does have that sort of, it's capable of doing that from the front.
I think it's based on weight, speed, accuracy, and sharpness of blade, I'd imagine.
Yep.
Agreed.
Justin, you're the expert, mate. Find out for us,
An expert. Some ex-army. I mean, I'm an expert in chopping people's heads off. It's not. There was no training session for that.
All right.
I'm talking about you chopping your tomatoes off with the kitchen, mate. So you're good at chopping.
Breaking them, chopping them off, no.
Did you know that that castle was the same castle that was used in.
The world is not enough.
Yeah, that shitty bomb movie. Yeah,
I think there's a very famous castle. Newcastle. Yeah, it's called Lock something, isn't it, Justin? You know the name.
Lock. Well, he makes reference to where he grew up on Lock Shiel, which is where the Battle of the Jacobites was. So anyone's a Harry Potter fan, and the curved bridge, which is the Harry Potter train that goes from Fort William to Malig. Or Oban, I think. Oban or Malik. Lock Shiel is the fight of the Jacobites at the end. So I don't know whether that was any type of reference to it. The lock that was on was Lock Cohen, something like that. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
There it is. It's
Lockish. Yeah, Lockish.
Yes. How do you pronounce that? Eileen. Come on, Eileen.
Eileen Donan Castle. So Kyle of Lockish. Highlands,
Scotland. So there you go. It's Highlander. Well, it's not enough. Entrapment, 1999. Oh, it's another Sean Connery film with looks like Catherine Zeta-Jones as well.
It is. There's an Indian movie in it as well. Jeez.
Blimey.
Well, there you go. So it's used quite a lot. That.
Yeah.
It's the most recognisable spot. In Scotland. I haven't been, actually. The only castle I've really been to is Urquhart Castle, which is on Loch Ness.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that, sharing your personal journey you had there.
Well, I know Scotland quite well, so, yeah.
I hope so, you know. I thought you had Scottish blood in you, haven't you? Or you've been Scottish?
Royal blood, mate, royal blood.
I was going to say, he did not give up on one habit. He was drinking scotch throughout the movie, and he was born in the famous Scottish town.
Glenfinnan.
Yep.
Who?
MacLeod, or whatever his name is. MacLeod.
Yeah.
Conor MacLeod.
Conor MacLeod, right, okay. Well, he was taught that then. So what have I missed? Police interview scene. Bit of homophobia there, good old fashioned 80s homophobia. Yeah, but it was good old fashioned 80s homophobia. No one was offended.
I think
on Twitter. You know, just go on.
Yeah, I think I think there's two things will never would have happened nowadays, or three things.
Call somebody Nat, no.
No, not that. Not only that, but, for example, a Frenchman would have never been allowed to play a Scotsman. A Scotsman would have never been allowed to play an Egyptian / Spanish bloke. Yeah. And no one even thought about it in those days. We accepted it, and, yeah, there you go. Nowadays.
And no one was harmed.
Nope. It did say that at the end of the movie. No one was harmed in these scenes.
Well, the interview scene I thought was quite entertaining, actually. And it was after that scene had finished, I think, well, hold on a second. If you take this into context, that guy's been around for, what, 450 years or however long he's been alive for. You think that's why he was so cool and collected in that situation, because he's seen a fuck sight worse in that time. So a couple of New York police officers questioned about something. He was like...
It's nothing, is it? It's not going to bother him in the slightest.
It was around 3,000 odd years by that time. And the funny... Can you imagine going to a writing specialist and they, you know, the bit where they were actually doing the signatures and someone turns around, you've got a guy who never dies in Mortal, he's the same person signing it. If someone said that to me, right, that person, I would be calling institution and saying this guy's got a mental breakdown or something, because would you believe that person, even if you saw the matching thing?
Well, I wouldn't be grassing them up to a superior. I'd say, that's interesting, mate. Let's have a look at the evidence. Right, there's got to be something wrong here. Can you run the tests again? And let's do it together. Let's go and... I wouldn't be saying, you're a fucking nutter, mate. Yeah, look, you get this employee fired. Quick, get him fired. Set up a hate campaign on Twitter. Get him cancelled. I won't be doing any of that. No.
And what about if he did all the experiments, keep on matching, then... would you sort of still believe him, sort of think, and go, oh, shit, there is someone who's been living there for 3,000 years?
Yeah, I would think it would be absolutely ridiculous, but then you'd think there's something wrong with the computer software that he's using or the algorithm that's been used. You'd think that's fucking mental. And then I go speak to the guy and say, are you 3,500 years old? And if he says, oh, fuck it, you've got me, which essentially he did. He said, oh, fuck it, you found me out, fuck.
And the funny thing was... after she found out, he shows her the museum he has in his gallery and then has sex with her. So she's potentially having sex with someone who's like her great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddad.
But when you say that, that's based on looks. And there being a very distinguishable difference between ages, right? The guy looked like a early 30s-year-old.
Yeah, and that Rachel, poor young girl, had become old, and she looks old, but he still looks young. And
Well, that raises some questions I have about this whole thing. But overall, though, I mean, brilliant. I mean, did you think how many women that guy's fucked in 3,500 years?
Plenty, probably.
I mean, Christ, he must be bored of it by now. So, another one, is it? All right, okay. Yeah.
But can you imagine how actually a very unhygienic it would have been to a mate like in medieval times?
Oh, I mean, no filth, mate.
I mean, how would you have found it for a start? I mean, it would. It's like self grooming and hygiene. I mean, it would have been. An
didn't they have
car wreck, wouldn't it?
Would it have been an absolute filth, mate? Just stench of rotting bits and bad breath.
Didn't they have some sort of worms down there as well because of the hygiene? I forgot what that it was like.
We assume that hygiene's absolutely terrible because they're not using, like, fucking Nivea shower gel or some shit. But there was hygiene, of course. I mean, people were washing their bell end off before having sex, surely.
And it would have been
quite cheese on the end of it. They weren't fucking just.
We won't be eating pizza for fortnight.
Yeah, we have to assume that there is some level of hygiene in the Middle Ages. But yeah, it would have stank. No one's brushing their teeth. You know, no one's wiping their ass properly. You know, so you'd have to have been pretty damn keen. It's amazing that human race is still here, isn't it? Really, when you consider.
Well, most of them had about 10 kids anyway. The poorer people of the nation had loads of kids. So you're talking about keenness, the bloody hell.
Either that or we're just a bunch of pussies, just soft, weak men. I mean, if you think back in then, it would have been like, I'm going for it, mate. I don't give a shit. I'll get past the smell. I'll strap a nose bag on full of rose petals. I don't give a fuck. I'm going in.
Yeah.
And we're just a soft bunch of pricks nowadays. Not going near you. You haven't had a shower today.
Yeah, it's.
Oh, he's like, that's it, Paul. I think I need to have a chat with your missus afterwards. Is this true? What Paul was saying, not going near you unless you have a chow. Sorry. I'm just
going. What? Just drink that fucking coffee, mate. Right.
From your done next point, mug.
Shall we? Christ. Did anyone else think that the prostitute going into the hotel room?
Candy.
Yeah. Hi. Mate,
but in comparison, that was fucking clean based on the conversation we've just been having.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Like medieval or 80s prostitute? Medieval 80s prostitute.
Oh, yeah, you're going 80s pro, aren't you? 80s pro. Yeah.
Sorry, medieval, I think, is the best.
Yeah, it's got the cigarette burns on it, you know, the old needle marks, you know, ripped tights. What, that thing?
Hi, I'm Candy, chewing gum. You actually walked in on him. He's on his knees with a big fucking sword in front of him.
Oh, which, by the way, right, would it be impossible? Can you imagine any one of us trying to do that in a room, right? The lights would be
swinging,
the ceiling would be, the TV would be smashed. That room would be fucking destroyed, wouldn't it? Swinging that sword around like that.
Yeah, but
you'd be like, fuck.
Did you see that room was different to the one he was practicing in and the one she entered?
Yeah, he probably needed a bigger room to practice.
Yeah, it was a bigger room. It was a bigger room, and then suddenly it became smaller when she enters in. And can I ask you, he's leaning like this, the sword's this high, and she didn't see it. If I was her, I'd be bloody screaming and running out, going, what the hell does this guy want to do with that sword?
I think she looked like she was ready for a bit of BDSM, mate.
Well, she did say to the hotel owner, said to him, you know, Candy said you're a bit kinky. And that's when he grabbed hold of him by the throat and said, don't ever speak to me again.
Yeah.
So she must have loved it.
Well, with the sword,
yeah. Yeah, but as you said about the room, you forgot the wide angled lens and the sword swing.
Yes,
you know, the wide angle lens that adds an extra 2 foot to the room, as you know. Right. So swinging that sword around would have been real easy.
Yeah.
And isn't this guy 6'7" in real life or something?
Samir knows about wide angled lenses making things look a bit bigger than he's.
No, my sword is perfect, mate.
We've all seen your dating profile.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, dear. It's like people always say to me, how fat are you? You know, the camera adds 10 pounds. Well, how many cameras are on you then?
How is the weight loss going?
It's not losing anything. It's a fuel tank for a love machine, mate. That's what it is.
Well, in 9 days, I've managed to lose 2 kgs. I'm on the way to losing another 2 or 3 this week.
That's excellent.
It's just sleeping in bin liners.
Working hard, going to the gym.
You can lose half a stone just by having a shave in your body there, Samir, can you?
But mate, you know how precious this is, this hair. You know, they come up to me and say, we want to make Persian carpets or carpets for me, and I'm charging a lot of money for that.
That's not a bad sideline.
No,
right, it's infinite supply, isn't it, until you drop dead.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you have your head cut off.
Yeah.
But anyway, coming back
right,
to the movie.
The Marine. I think the Marine was underused. I would have liked him, and I thought for a moment this is what's going to happen. Which, by the way, you up on a sword like that. Did you see the wires on him as well, by the way, when Mate Boy was lifting him? He threw him. So it was a bit like throwing a bit of chicken off a kebab stick. But I thought while he was in the hospital that he was going to come back an immortal and then come back and, like, avenge. That's what I thought.
Do you know the guy he kills in that scene? The African guy that McLeod has a drink with.
Yeah.
He's a British actor. He was in Holby City. Yeah.
Hey! Twins.
Twins. Definitely from a different mother, though.
They've both got glasses on. That counts for something. Yeah. I've got piss poor eyesight. There you go.
Yeah, it's me sitting under the sunbed.
Hold on. So you're saying that Matey Boy got skewered by the sword. You were thinking that he was going to become immortal somehow. Yeah. How would that transfer of power have happened?
Well, how did it happen with the first one? How did it happen with Lambert?
Well, you have to...
Well,
you just stick his finger in the sky and go, lightning.
No. You have to be immortal yourself, and the other immortal has to chop your head off, and that's how you get the power, mate.
Yeah, but we're saying, how did he become immortal in the first place?
I've got no idea, mate.
That's some bigger brain questions.
Immortal. Yeah. How can he become immortal? He just got stabbed on the battlefield. He didn't know about it.
He didn't.
And that's the other thing, right? There's some big brain questions that we could ask here, right? Is one, how did you know you're immortal? They didn't. They found out when they died. So are we to assume then, because Conor McLeod is stuck at, let's just say, early 30s, right? That's his age. Yeah. He's stuck there, right? The Kurgan is stuck at, let's just say, a similar age, right? But Rhaenyra is an older fella.
Has aged.
Yes. So are we saying then, are we assuming that this power, this immortal power, only kicks in the first time that they actually die? So Ramirez got killed for the first time when he was in his 50s or whatever it is with the grey hair. And that's the first time he actually got killed on a battlefield. And therefore he discovers he's immortal. And that's it. He sticks at that age.
Yeah.
Same with Connor and the others.
Yeah. Same with like vampire films.
But another thing, in this movie, I'm sure there's one scene missing because they are actually, as a kid, I remember watching it. They actually are next to his bed when he wakes up again from the dead. And this time it went straight into the sort of pub or whatever inn and saying he's got a devil in him and stuff like that.
Yes. I think that was cut from the director's, the 30th anniversary edition or whatever it was. I think that particular scene was cut. That was a bit. It just kind of shows you sort of the religious fervor at that time, doesn't it? Everyone believed in God, no matter, that was it. God was everything. So you've got the devil in you, and even his girlfriend, the wench that he's knocking off, is like, burn him anyway.
Oh yeah, she was like, quite happy for him to be slaughtered.
Why?
Oh my God, it's amazing how the attitude changed towards him, especially with the girlfriend. Yeah, you're right. She was the one who was going for it the most out of all of them, and his cousin. Yeah. It was the guy that I mentioned, the British guy who plays bits in quite a lot of movies like this. Like, I think it was in Rob Roy and Braveheart and stuff like that.
He's Scottish, isn't he?
He is, yeah. And he sort of stops him and goes, no, let's let him go. Sort of thing.
Dougal,
yeah. I'll never forget you. Yeah.
And then forgot him instantly.
Forgot him. Yeah.
Never saw or mentioned again.
No. James Cosmo does the voices for Train of Dragon and stuff, doesn't he? I think the animated.
He's got quite a distinctive look and quite a distinctive voice, that guy.
Yeah, because he's in Braveheart as well, wasn't he? So was that what you were saying?
Yeah.
I don't think there's many like Scottish period films where kilts and swords and spears are involved that he's not in. He's the like the go-to person. So I got at him because he fits. But we're going to get an American to play Braveheart, though. You're not quite good enough for that.
Is Mel Gibson American, though? He was born in Australia, right?
Yeah. He's a little bit confused himself because at the beginning of his career, he's not Scottish, though, is he? That's the point.
No, he's not.
Hold on. Where does the surname Gibson come from?
I don't know.
No, I'm just asking because historically,
might have Scottish heritage. You're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
Because half of America say they're Irish American, don't they, or Italian American, or whatever. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, yeah, everyone in America is an immigrant. That's the point, isn't it? Same with Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you're Native American, that's it. You are an immigrant, right? Yeah. That's right. So, on that note of immigrants, Kurgan is Russian in this film.
Very good Cold War rhetoric again there.
I thought, because you had the Marine with the Hey Moscow thing. The main enemy is Russian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very undertony, isn't it? Although his Trans Am, he had two Trans Ams, by the way. He was driving in one and it completely changed when he parked and got out of it. And if you notice as well, when Kurgan is messing around in the car with a bird in it, Did anyone notice that actually one of the scenes, he completely fucking crashed it?
Yes.
In one of the scenes, he smashed
the cuts.
Yeah.
They showed the cuts of the cars crashing. I thought that was just a wake that he left behind.
No, that was actually his car. But if you looked at all the paintwork closely, I paused it, and it was his car that was smashed up. In the next scene, he's pulling in.
Yeah. Just reusing material.
And another thing is, how could he concentrate on driving? The man of screaming, mate. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, but that was the point. He was.
Yeah, I know. But I know that was a point. But I mean, my ears were bloody hurting by the time that scene finished.
My ears was hurt from the opening credits until the ending credits. The only time I opened my ears really was when Queen came on.
Yeah. beautiful music.
Justin's giving his score away then. He's giving his.
Yeah, I think Justin, don't give a score in this one. I think you're going to be too.
I was just saying, I think I could have done without the damsel in distress stuff with the women screaming.
Yeah, that was annoying. And even at the end, when she was on that silver cup sign. Which, you know, the whole thing collapses. She somehow still manages to hang on, and her things come off that she's held to,
and she's climbing up.
Yeah, but when they smash through the skylight and drop into the building, well, there was no water that followed him in.
Yeah, I thought that too. Yeah, and how did she get in?
Yeah, she's found a door.
She just appeared at the door, trying to get out the door. So hold on, you were tied to that thing a minute ago. What? How do you?
Yeah.
And it was a fucking long drop too. She would have broken, all of them would have broken their ankles or something.
Well, they're immortal, weren't they? So they would have been all right. But she somehow managed to get dropped, untied, up the wall, find a door, get down, and then get through a door which was locked, and then find another way in. It's a bit
unreal. Should people know how hard it is to actually lift your own body weight? So the way she untied herself, she would be completely naked, and then she sort of climbs up and lifts herself over the side of the building.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much she weighed, but I mean, when you're tired, trust me, lifting your own weight, it kills you. Doing press-ups kills you. So when you're naked, so doing that when you're tired and naked, it's not possible. I don't give a shit who you are.
Do you know what knackered actually means?
yeah, tired.
The term knackered means tired after sex.
Oh, okay.
That's where the term comes from.
Is that true?
Do you know what? We've had this conversation before. It's a bit of deja vu. And I remember, unless this is deja vu, because it's also got something to do with cows and all the rest of it, the knacker's yard. So I think it's all related to each other somehow. But this is deja vu now. We've had this conversation before.
Right. So here we go. Knacker, a person who removes animal carcasses and roadkill. A knackerman, is a person who removes and clears animal carcasses, dead, dying, injured, from private farms or public highways and renders the collected carcasses into byproducts such as fats, tallow, yellow grease, glue, blah, blah, blah. So the meaning of knackered is tired, exhausted. How to use knackered in a sentence, blah, blah, blah.
Try Urban Dictionary.
Right, okay. Well, Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, Urban Dictionary is different, mate. But anyway, everything's connected to sex with you, mate. You just, I'm saying, yeah. Because you invented the camel suit, so you don't have to bring it onto our filthy channel, dear.
No, they're just missing a lot of pages, mate.
Yeah, I wonder why. Yeah.
Right, well, let's look at my notes. I'm looking for other points here.
Yeah, do the same.
I thought it was the Heather getting older, that montage of Heather growing old and what's his face staying the same age. I felt that was quite moving, actually. I thought it was quite a nice little moment in the film.
I agree with you.
Stuck with her and he was faithful and stayed with her and all that time. And then she ends up just dying on his lap. I thought, fucking hell, that's going to be an art wrencher, isn't it, that? Bit of a lump in the throat there, maybe, you know?
Hmm.
That scene and the scene when he leaves Rachel as well, that's a bit touching scene as well.
Yeah, I suppose. Russell Nash dies tonight. Yeah.
By the way, we shouldn't be admitting we've got these feelings. You know, we're soft guys, you know, we want to be tough guys, you know, from the 70s, born in the 70s and 80s, these sort of things don't get to us. We don't cry.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I'll never, ever mention anything like that ever again. Right.
Make sure you don't, mate.
So should we score it?
Yeah, I think so. I think I've got through most of my points.
One thing is, right, I don't get, and this is the final point, right, he kills the Russian, right, and that's it, he's won, but then they make Highlander 2.
But Highlander 2 is a complete like rewriting of the whole canon of Highlander. They're from the pair of one, they bring Sean Connery back, Ramirez back, and secondly, they're from a different planet, and it's all about the ozone layer or something.
Oh, is it? Okay. And what's his name? Van Dyke or Van Peasel or whatever his name's in it as well.
Well, that's the third one, isn't it? I don't know.
Third one or second one?
I learned today that there's actually 5 Highlander movies.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, there are loads of them.
Yeah. I thought there was three.
No, there's 5.
Bloody
hell. And I've only seen two.
TV series.
There was 2 seasons of a TV series apparently in the early 90s. But yes, the last film, the last Highlander film, was made in 2007.
And did it have Christopher Lambert in it, or...?
I believe so. either way, it's pretty fucking... It's a mess. It's all over the place, really. Pretty low scoring as well, most of them. One final thing from me, and that is... Hold on a sec. Where is it? Bollocks. Why can't I fucking find it? I had it just a minute ago. It's right there in front of me. Oh, that was it. The end. Connor's back at his apartment. We're getting to the end of the movie now, the final confrontation with the Kurgan. How does Kurgan know Lambert's or Connor's phone number to leave him a voice message?
That's true. Yeah,
because he sat there playing a voice message and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna I'll kill her.
Highlander.
That did remind me of Scream.
What's your favorite scary movie?
But as soon as he stopped playing that and he got ready, he got all geared up to go out, and then that's when Rachel says, oh, you know, blah 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 and whatever, and a little bit of a cry or whatever, right? And then he fucks off. All I could think about was how did you know? Did they just all get together once a year and they just like exchange contact details? So just in case you need to contact me for anything.
If you need me, I'll be on 0800 500 400 500.
Yes. Or 555.
Just... You've been told not to give out your phone number on this.
Mm. Oh, sorry. That's my service in the evenings after I finish this. You know? Sideline is very good.
Before we go, we should probably talk about the power and what it actually is. Now, my interpretation of the power. Well, I have no idea what it is. What are they actually receiving after they kill one? What is it they get?
Combined strength, or?
But it's not. There's no sign of strength, is there? Really? I mean, the Kurgan's pretty strong, but there's no sign that he's like an all dominant kind of punch holes through walls type strength. There's a superpower or anything.
I think they get the extra lives that they
extra lives. like a video game.
Yeah, video game.
Yeah. Highlander versus Jumanji.
If you remember at the end, he could have kids and they would be.
But that's the prize. That's the final prize. So, as I understand it, the ultimate prize, when all the immortals are dead, apart from one, the ultimate prize is it's like being on a DMT trip. You suddenly get all the world information just piled into your head. You're tapped into the hive.
If you've been alive that long, you definitely know that kids is a bad fucking idea.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want that power. I'd be like, I fucking know. I've just spent 4,000 or whatever years, and I'm quite. Look at my fucking apartment. Look at all this. I wouldn't have all of this if I had fucking kids. No.
See, this is what I was going to say. The way Justin has kids and the amount he has, I think I would agree with him as well. But this guy didn't have any kids, right?
He is a man of experience. I'll take Justin's word on having kids, numerous kids. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But this guy didn't have any kids, so that's why he wanted kids, Justin. Not 5 of them, just 1, maybe 2, not 5.
But that's why what the ultimate power is that they can reproduce, isn't it?
Whereas so they if they reproduce, would that become an immortal?
I assume so.
Like, like if you like vampires or become a vampire, like Twilight.
It would yeah. Well, we can only assume. It's not explained.
Doesn't Quanry mention that about his offspring, that they're going to be immortal and you will have to accept it or something? No. I thought I heard that. I may have misheard it.
Connery says that you can't reproduce. That's it.
The only useful thing I can see that Connery did for that entire film was advise him not to get his head cut off. That was about the only useful bit of information.
Taught a man to swing a sword.
Well, sure, but in medieval times, you kind of need to know that. And he was already quite a decent warrior, or apparently.
But he wasn't, because the first encounter he had, he got stabbed in the fucking ribs.
Was that his first one, was it?
Yeah. But that was from the very beginning. I said, right at the very beginning, are you scared of going into battle? And he said, no, of course I'm not. And they said, well, you should be. I pissed my kilt first time I went.
I assume that he was accomplished swordsman.
Another thing that I found interesting, do you remember when he has that duel? And that guy stabs him about half a dozen times and he doesn't die. So his servant gets him the guns and he just gives up and shoots his servant. I think that was a little bit of a funny bit there.
Well, it's funny you mentioned, because I've got a note here that says there were some comedic moments in this film, which I completely forgot about.
Yeah, well, he was also a famous actor, wasn't he? The guy that played that part.
Yeah, I think he's a famous British guy who had an American accent, because I recognise him from some soaps.
I know what you're talking about. The guy that was, the other guy that was actually in the duel that was stabbing him, running him through with the sword, the dueling swords. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is an English actor, and I can't think what he's been in, but yes, he has.
Was he
been
in EastEnders ever?
Could have been, actually. Yeah. For people watching this that don't know what EastEnders are, it's a very long time running drama on one of the TV channels we have here. So it goes out, was it 3 nights a week or is it 5 nights a week?
Something like that. It's my half an hour nap time.
The just to say, actually, that the wrestlers were Sam Seitz, Terry Bam Bam Gordy, Sam Fatu, because obviously we talked about it. I'm just trying to find this guy, because he was... trying to find his name, because I recognised his face. I couldn't think of his name, and I thought, "Oh, he's been in loads of stuff."
Are we still talking about wrestlers, or are we talking about
Sorry, the sort of posh English dude back in the.
He was a barman of Boston.
Yes, 1794 dueling scene, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a few comical moments in this film that were quite good. I mean, some of the one-liners from Connor were a bit meh, especially at the end where he saves the woman from being hacked down by the Kurgan. He goes, what kept you? I thought, you've ruined it, mate. Ruined it. Who put that in there? What fucking screenwriter thought that'd be a good idea? Or even if he had libbed it, what a prick. Just ruined it. What took you so long? Well,
I was hanging. I should have turned around and said, I was tied up, mate.
Well, anyway.
Actually, you tried to do a James Bond, weren't they? They were trying to do a little bit of the old Bond sort of things.
That's another point I've got, actually. Another thing I picked up on. The bit where they're in the tower, you've got Sean Connery Ramirez telling Heather a story about him swinging or climbing into a window to go meet a woman.
Oh, yes.
And then he says, and she wasn't there. There was another woman there, and Heather says, well, what did you say to her? He said, well, I introduced myself and then pretty much ended up shaking her instead. I thought, that's a bit Bond-esque. Do you reckon that was a slight kind of callback reference?
To say never again? Because he does swing doesn't he, in a trainer? Yeah.
Could have been. Yeah, it's true, but just Bond in general, I felt there was a little bit of possibly a reference there, because it is a bit Bond-esque, that kind of scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Scores?
6.
Justin can go first.
Yeah, 6.
Okay.
That's quickly to the point. Right, okay.
Okay, is that it, Justin? Okay.
It's a 6. I accepted it was an 80s film. I think they could have done a lot better with the post-production. I thought... some good actors in it that have done good things since, probably early in their careers then, maybe. I don't know. But I found the whole thing a bit weak and difficult to follow. A very slow to get into it, a very slow starting.
Slow starting. I thought that's because the battle and the action sequences pretty start off almost immediately.
Yeah, yeah, so but to understand slow. The point in the plot of the film right. took a little while. For
this
me,
this isn't the anyway. First time you've seen it, is it?
Yeah, ever.
Is it?
Yeah, first time I've ever seen this film. And the last time.
The man who loves 80s action movies, and it's the first... Wow, I'm surprised at that.
Maybe I thought, and quite rightly too, that it was one worth missing.
It's a fucking cult classic.
Well, I don't
what
see
are you talking
how.
About, Justin? I bet you didn't bother. You thought, yeah, I'm a Scotsman somewhere. Wear my own kilt. I don't see all these guys running around in kilts.
I think cult classics sometimes can get mixed up with, overused. Well, you just overused. Have to accept it, and it is overused. Mm. It's not on the same level as some of the other... Like, I'd rather sit down and watch Mannequin than watch that, and Mannequin's a classic.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Mannequin?
Yeah. With Kim Cattrall.
Yeah.
Never seen
it's
it.
Her debut film.
And she never was really it. Hot in it as well.
She was. But anyway, I'd rather... watch that, to me, is a better 80s film than this. In fact, most 80s films that I watch are better than this.
No, but they're not cult. They're classics. This is a cult classic. So it's going to be a slightly smaller audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's, so go ahead, yeah. Go on.
Justin, you beat me to the mark. I know I picked the movie and I have enjoyed it in the past. And it'd been quite a long time since I watched it. So at the beginning, I got a little bit confused because in my head, it was always about the Highlands. And that's what I remember watching as a kid and watching it a few times in the early 90s. So unfortunately, because I got a little bit, not only confused, but a little bit disappointed this time after doing all these reviews. So I'm also going to give it a 6 because I think they're wasted Connery. He was there in literally 2 minutes, came in and went. Then I think... Claydon Brown, whatever his name is. I think
Clancy
Brown. I think they could have built on his character as well. Yeah. I mean, he looked the part. And them keep on shifting to different times was really annoying as well. I think they should have done 2 timelines and that's it.
It was a bit like watching Goodnight Sweetheart with Nick Leeson, wasn't it? It was just...
Yeah.
Not Nick Leeson. That's the guy... You know, Bearings, wasn't it? Bearings.
You mean Nicholas...
Lindhurst. Nicholas Lindhurst.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Rodney. They should have... Rodney. Dowboy. So, yeah. They should have stuck to 2 timelines, for example. They should have done the Highlands and maybe done that duel, the period of the duel between, you know, that whatever, 1750,
it's
whatever.
Good you're clarifying this film and making it just as confusing as the film itself.
Yeah. I'm even more confused now. So, 6, yeah?
6, yeah.
Right, okay. Well, I'm giving it a 6 as well. It's just a default. It's just a default, isn't it?
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching the film. I've always enjoyed the film, even as a kid. Yeah. I think way back in the day, it was on one of the Sky movie channels, the satellite TV stations and everything we had here, in the early 90s. And I think my mum recorded it. Because my mum actually enjoys a lot of films. She recorded it, I think, and then I just watched it, and yeah, it was all right. It's a story, you know. I quite like the old historical kickbacks. I quite like those. And it's very easy to follow, I felt. I wasn't particularly confused at any point, apart from, you know, the bigger power thing. I think there's a lot of questions there. But then I don't necessarily need every minor detail explained to me. And, you know, ultimately, I don't give a shit. Just a story, isn't it?
It's a movie.
Well, I agree with that because in his little memorabilia room, did you notice Ramirez's outfit?
In the background.
He's carried that around, did he? He's collected all this stuff and he's carried it around for all this time and kept it safe. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense.
No, there's a lot. There is an awful lot in this that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Particularly as there's reference to them saying, oh, you know, he lives and then he dies and gives it to somebody and starts again. So he like fakes his own death and gives everything away and then starts again. Well, if he did that, then he wouldn't, you know, because he even said when he walked out the room, he said, oh, there's a thing in the drawer. You know, everything will be yours, essentially, or whatever. So what is he going to do later on? Knock on the door and go, oh, it is, but can I just get all the shit out of my memorabilia room? Is that all right? Because I don't want to.
There must be understanding somewhere, mate. There must have a understanding.
The thing is, why give it all to that Rachel anyway? Because he could, because for the last however many people that he's supposedly been and died.
Well, it's 40, right? 40 years, isn't it? Because
he's come back. I assume he's years. Come back and just carried on the same business, just as a different person.
Right? Yeah, yes.
Why bother giving it all to Rachel when he can say, right, tomorrow I'll be Jack and I'll see you at 10 a.m., yeah? And we'll open up for business again.
This time in London.
Yeah. Well, no, just the same fucking place.
Yeah, but that's going to be confusing for Starbucks down the road, isn't it? When you've got to give them your name, they're going to be like, no, it's not your name.
Yeah, you were Russell yesterday.
Yeah, what's going on?
Why are you Jack today?
It must be someone who looked like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. All right, so six all round. Should we just do a little wrap up then? Let me just show this. I like to do this on the end of these little reviews now. Is that Tracked. Tracked.tv. It's a service that I use. It gives the overall aggregated results. So we've got 7.1 rating average on IMDb. 6.9 on the movie DB, 70% out of 100 on Rotten Tomatoes, a 24 on Metacritic. That's out of 100. Shit. So that's odd, isn't it? Depending where you go,
yes,
it varies quite a lot.
And if we look at the next to the high, 74%. 74%.
Yeah, that's on Tracked itself because it has its own rating system as well. So, yeah, wow. Quite varied, so people love or hate it.
I think it's very much that sort of film, actually. And if you love it, you'll go on and watch the second and binge watch. If not, then you don't bother.
Well, the bad news is, Justin, I think it's because we've started a
series
of movies here, which Highlander is.
I think I might be ill, busy, or away.
Okay, we'll give you the P45 for those.
Just tip extras out and send it to me.
Yeah, sure.
Right. Justin's going to take another month off.
Yep.
We've got to be back on Bond soon. Well, we're going to, next week.
We've done Bond, mate. No, we've finished it.
We finished
Bond.
We haven't done No Time to Die. Done Spectre.
What else did we do without you as well? Didn't we do another one? We did.
Spectre, we did quite a few.
I think. Yeah. No, I was there for Quantum of Solace.
We did Tom Hanks.
Can we bother to show up that week?
Tom Hanks movie. What else did we do?
Run out of fingers to smell and seats to straighten, did you, that weekend?
Yeah, I did.
Fucking sniffing fingers and...
That's shocking.
Watching paint dry. All the more important things you've got to do on a Sunday evening.
Absolutely.
And on that bombshell.
That's time to end.
Yeah. Right. Well, find us on the social media, Facebook and all that. You know that shit anyway, right? You know, subscribe on YouTube if you liked it. If not, well, whatever. Do what you fucking like. And we'll probably see you again next week. I think it might be a bit different next week because Justin and I are actually going to be in the same vicinity. We're going to be in the same almost touching distance next weekend. So, I don't know. We'll figure something out. It might be earlier in the day, or it might be on the Saturday. I don't know. But for anyone that's interested, I'll let people know as soon as possible what we're doing. Smear's not going to be with us. He's away at the Wimbledon final.
Well, someone has to do it, don't they? For Queen and Country to go and watch.
That boring load of old shite. Yep.
Snipers been arranged.
Knocking a rubber ball over a net. Yep, someone's got to go and watch that bollocks, isn't
there? Rubber ball over. You know how hard it is to hit that rubber ball over
the net? Oh, yeah, I'm not taking away from the skill. I just think that...
Go on, Nick Kyrgios. That's all I'm going to say. Nick Kyrgios. Go, well, my man.
If we're doing on Saturday, I'll be here. If not, I won't be. But thank you very much, audience. I shall see the week after if I'm not around. And I'll let you know how the tennis went as well. If I
Nick Kyrgios is going to be there. He's going to win.
I think the world's media.
Get a picture of me, yeah?
I think the world's media will let everyone know how the tennis went.
No, I mean, on my personal point of view, sorry. I don't mean in the sense of...
Your truth, Samir. Your truth.
No, my truth.
I give your love to my love to your sister, Samir.
I will. Yeah, definitely, mate.
All right, people. Let's leave it there. See you later.
See you later.